Now this morning, we're going to talk about an interesting, I think a unique book. And here's why I think it's interesting and unique. I'll give you two reasons. First, because of what it does not contain. We have a book of the Bible that has no miracles performed in it, no laws were given, no wars or victories for the nation of Israel were found in this book. So that's why it's unique. Secondly, it's unique because what we do find inside the book, we find problems, we find people, and we find God's purpose. So this morning we're going to look at the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, the book of Ruth. I've titled this the book of redemption. The book of redemption. So we're going to look at problems, people, and God's purpose. So if you have a Bible this morning, Ruth chapter 1, I'm going to just read a few verses and then we'll have a word of prayer. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Lord, we thank you for this day. And as we go further in this message, I pray that you'll bless us today, Lord. I pray that you'll open up our eyes and our ears to the message. Please open up our hearts to your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll work in our hearts this morning and provide the spiritual teaching that each one of us requires. We give you the praise and glory for all of that, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at Ruth, the book of redemption. It's four chapters. It's a short book. You can read it in one sitting usually. It doesn't take a whole long time to get through this book, but there's a lot of encouraging teaching here and a lot of information that we can learn from. So we're going to look at the book of redemption, and I'm going to give you three thoughts: the problems that are found, the people, and then of course at the end we're going to talk about the purpose of the book, which is God's purpose. Now the problems, I want to begin by talking about the time that this book was written. When I say time, I'm not talking about when it was actually written, but the time of the events that are within the book. The book takes place sometime during the book of Judges. You'll notice at the beginning, we've read it in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." The book took place during one of the reigns of the judges. Now, we're not given the exact dates, but we know the events occurred, obviously, before the times of the kings, before King Saul, before David, before Solomon, and it occurred during one of the times of the lives of the kings, or the judges. Now, early Jewish writers considered Ruth pretty much to be a part of the book of Judges. They almost looked at it as being an appendix of the book of Judges. So that's when the book was written. Now I want to talk about the troubles. You know, the book of Judges, last week we talked about this book, and the title I gave it was The Book of Failure. Because in the book of Judges we find that Israel disobeyed God, they were defeated, and they were delivered. Seven times. It was a cycle. Over and over and over again that happened. I think if you had to pick a time to live, and at least if I had to pick a time, if the Lord said, you know, "I'll give you a chance to go back and live in one of the generations of the Old Testament," I probably wouldn't pick the time of Judges. I'd probably pick another time. You see, the time of Judges was a troubling time. There was problems. And yes, there was a deliverer. You often find God blessed, and there was a deliverer, and they found some peace and some rest. But then another generation would come upon a scene that would have more troubles and more problems. You see, the book of Ruth itself, we read the first five verses, you'll notice the book of Ruth begins with tragedy. There are problems in the life of Ruth. First, you have a famine in the land. This famine may have been due to their sin and their disobedience, and some punishment came upon the land of Israel. And so it begins with a famine, and then it's quickly followed by the death of Elimelech, and then the death of his two sons. So you find a woman, Orpah, who was a widow living in a foreign land with nothing at all. And you also find Ruth, who was a widow with really no future, or at least a bleak future, no future to really talk about or boast about. They both ran into some problems. Here's my thought on this first point. Life is filled with problems. Life is filled with problems. If you haven't figured this out, maybe we have some young people who haven't figured it out. I don't want to burst any bubbles, but things will not always go your way. That's just part of life. And we're sure to have some difficult days. There's going to be some days where we're just not going to want to get out of bed. We're not going to want to go forward. That's just part of life. We're going to have some difficult days. But I hope and pray that as you read this book, and as you study the life of Ruth, that you'll be able to conclude that all is not lost when something bad occurs. That just because there's a problem there does not mean that everything is hopeless, that there's no future, that God cannot work, that God cannot bless. So let's not give up hope because we run into some difficult times. Let's continue with God. Let's persist by faith with our Lord and with our Savior. We're going to see that's what Ruth did. She ran into some difficulties, but she didn't quit. She didn't step aside and say, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to give up on God. I'm going to give up hope. She continued on and she lived for the Lord and she was blessed. And here's why. God excels at taking care of problems. God takes care of problems. That's what He does. You think of the problem of sin. That's the problem we have in our world today. That's the problem each of us has, is sin. We're sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We all have sin in our life. We have a sinful nature. We don't have to be taught how to sin. We have to be taught how to do good, by the way. You know, even little infants in the nursery, they don't have to be taught how to take something. They have to be taught how to share something. We've got to teach them how to share it. They naturally take something and grab it. You see, we have a sinful nature within. That's our problem. Well, God addressed that by sending His Son to die on the cross for our sin. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Let me point this out. Romans chapter 5, and it says in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me point out, first off, He says, when we were without strength. The reason why we had no strength or we have no strength is because of sin. You see, if we had the ability to get rid of sin in our life, we would do it, or those that would want to do it, could do it. We just can't get rid of that sin. That sin is there. That sinful nature is there. We have no strength to overcome that. So when we were without strength, God sent His Son to provide salvation, to provide the strength that we didn't have. And those that put their faith in Christ, not only are they saved and they're forgiven of their sin, but they have the strength to live for God. And so we find that's due to God. You see, He took care of the problem of sin. God fixes problems. That's what He excels at. Also, God is able to provide what is necessary when we run into a problem as we're serving Him. You know, we're going to have problems in life, but God is able to provide as we go through those problems. Now, sometimes God may remove the problem. He can do that. God has the power to remove a problem. But He may also just say, I'm going to give you strength to endure it. That's what He did with Paul. Gave him strength to endure his trials and his troubles and his tribulations. Either way, God will provide. And that's what we find here with Ruth, that Ruth, God provided for Ruth. God was going to take care of her. So I think we should cast our cares upon God, as Peter says. Cast all your care upon Him, because He takes care of problems. He fixes the mess that we may run into. So in this book of Ruth, we find that God is able to bless even during the most difficult of times. He blessed Ruth. He blessed her in a wonderful way. Even though the times were rough, the times were difficult, and the nation itself was just back and forth with God. Obedience, disobedience, defeat, trouble, problems. Yet we find a woman who God blessed in a great way. So, before I move on, here's the concluding thought on this. There's no problem too difficult for God to deal with. And there is no generation too sinful for God to work in and work through. So don't ever get discouraged. God can bless your life and God can work through your life. Number two, let's talk about the people of this book. The people of this book. I want to talk first about the conditions. You see, this book provides an account of rural family life in Israel. The fields of labor are the background, not the courtrooms, not the battlefields like most of the other books in the Old Testament. In this book, we find no kings, we find no conquerors, but we do find farmers, we do find householders, we find a group of laborers and workers. It's really a quaint book, I think, that gives the impression of country life. I can say the impression of life outside the big city, outside the courtrooms, outside the places of battle, just out in the country, out in the rural area. It takes us to villages, country roads, and harvest fields. It's a completely different book than we find in the Old Testament of some of the other books. Also, it provides an account of women in early times. You see, women in this book, you'll notice they displayed unselfish love. Unselfish love. We find it displayed by Orpah, or not by Orpah, but by Naomi and by Ruth. We also find that women were willing to do what was necessary during difficult times. And that's encouraging. You know, things didn't work out the way they wanted to work out, but they didn't quit. They did what was necessary to continue on with the Lord. Also, we find that the women were blessed. Ladies, God will work through your life too. God can bless you, no different than He blesses a man. God can bless you in great ways. Be faithful to Him and serve the Lord. That's what we find in this book. Now, reading the book of Judges, we can come away with the impression of constant violence. At least that's what I come away with. I read the book of Judges, I come away with just wars and battles and sin and troubles and rulers called up or judges called up to take them out of oppression. And when they come out of oppression, by the way, battles take place and fights take place. And then they have a time of peace. So when you read through the book of Judges, you can get the impression of constant violence. And then you come to this book here, the book of Ruth. And this reminds us that there were normal people living normal lives during a normal time. It's easy sometimes just to look at the Bible and think everything was just full of action and violence. And then we read this book and say, you know, people had just problems like we do today. They had to make some decisions. They had to trust in God to provide. And that's what we find here in the book of Ruth. So let's look at some of the people. I want to talk about the choices now. Those are the conditions that the people lived in. Let's talk about some of these choices. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech." Here's the first individual we're introduced to, and here's the first choice that we find. We find a man who was faced with a famine and a decision. He could have remained in the land of Israel, where he should have remained. He was an Israelite. He belonged to God. God had given them the land. They were to possess the land. They were to stay in the land, and he should have stayed there. Yet, he was given a choice because of this famine, this difficult time. He could leave the land, not under God's direction, but under his own, I guess you say, discretion, is what he could do. Perhaps he struggled with faith. The Bible doesn't tell us why he left. Maybe he struggled with faith. I mean, it tells us there was a famine, but maybe he struggled with faith. He just struggled with the thought that God was going to provide the food or the needs for his family. Maybe he grew weary of waiting upon God. We can make that mistake too. We're waiting upon God, and guess what? We just get impatient. We want God to work right now, and when he doesn't work right now, we get impatient, and we begin to act. Maybe that's what happened to this man. He just grew weary of waiting upon God. It's possible that he just thought life was better in Moab. You know, the grass is greener on the other side. He thought, if I go over there, everything's going to work out great. He thought life would be better over there. Whatever the reason, this man chose to leave Israel. He chose to leave the land that God had placed him in. And he went to Moab, and the Bible tells us that he ran into trouble. He found some problems, and things didn't work out the way he thought they would. And so that's the first person we're introduced to. That's the first choice. And we see, I think he made a poor decision. I think he led his family incorrectly, and I think he ran into some trouble. Now let's look at the next decisions that we come across here. And this is down in the same chapter. Verse 11, it says here, now that Elimelech died in Moab, his sons died in Moab, but they had married. They had married two women that were Moabites. They weren't Israelites, they were Moabites. And it says in verse 11, Naomi said, "Turn again." Now she's talking to her daughter-in-laws. She says, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me?" She's planning to go back to Israel. She says, "Are there any yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. I should say I have hope if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, and under her gods return thou after thy sister-in-law." Here's the second choice. Now we're going to read a little more here in a minute, but we come across a situation where Naomi's heading back to the land of Israel, and she looks upon her daughters-in-law and says, "Stay here. There's nothing for you in Israel. Just stay here. You can perhaps find a husband, you can get married, you can start a life here, and you can continue worshiping your gods." In other words, you can remain in your religion and remain here with your family. You'll notice that one of them, Orpah, took that, I guess you'd say, choice. She made that decision. She stayed. And we never hear of her again. It's the last mention we find of her. She remained there. She stayed with her family and she worshiped the idols. But Ruth chose a different route. Notice what it says in verse here. We're in verse 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And notice this. "Thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. And more also, if I ought but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking under her. Notice Ruth's decision. Naomi said, "You can stay here. You can start a new life. You can find happiness, perhaps. You can have life here." And Ruth said, "No." Now, I don't think Ruth chose to go the difficult route just because she was being stubborn. I think the answer lies within verse 16 where she says, "Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God." I believe Ruth had a change of heart. It doesn't give us the time when she was converted or that she made things right with God, but at some point she did. In her heart, she accepted God as her God. And I believe that Ruth now belonged to the Lord. And that was her choice. You see, this Moabite woman, by the way, a Moabite woman, not an Israelite woman, a Moabite woman claimed God as her God. She turned from her false idols. You know, that's what repentance is, by the way, turning from sin and turning unto God. She turned from her false idols and she accepted the true God of Israel. You see, her false gods were forsaken. You know, you read the rest of this book, you'll find she never looked back. Ruth never returned to her false idols. She never desired after them. She never loved them. She never longed for them. And she never lived for them again. Why? Because she now served the one true God of Israel. Why should she return to those false gods? She knew the one God. You know, the Bible says in James 2:18, "Yea, a man may say thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." I think here we see Ruth's faith in her decision. She chose to follow after God. That was her faith. Her faith was in God. And she would go no matter what the situation. Notice she said there that even if she would die, she was willing to go. You see, what we find here is Ruth made a correct decision. And let me point this out, because this is where I think we can really be encouraged. Ruth chose holiness over happiness. Now let that sink in for a minute. You know, the Bible talks about us being holy. What's 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. You know, that verse is talking about holiness. Living unto God, being right with God and glorifying God with our life. That's not talking about happiness. That's not saying that you're going to feel good about this and you're going to do this because it feels right. It's not talking about emotions. It's talking about being holy unto God. You see, what Ruth chose is she chose holiness over happiness. Now, let me give you some thoughts. First, happiness depends upon our situation. You see, we can be happy today because, well, it's a nice day out. We can be happy today because we're going to go do something exciting. You see, happiness really is an emotion, and it's based upon our circumstances. Here's the problem, though. Our circumstances can change. You can be happy and say, "I'm going to go out and I'm going to have me some fun this afternoon. I got all these plans." And then as soon as church is over, you can walk out and all of a sudden the clouds have come over and the rain starts to pour and you can be a little bit sad. Say, "You know, I was going to have all these plans with my family. We're going to do all these great things. Now I just got to go home and sit inside and wait till the rain goes away. And guess what? I got to go to work tomorrow when it's nice out." You see, happiness is an emotion and it can change based upon our circumstances. Holiness, on the other hand, honors God. Holiness honors God. Turn with me, if you would, to John 15. And let me show you how God provides joy. You see, there's a difference between happiness and joy. I think a lot of Christians today are seeking happiness. They're not seeking the joy that God has to offer. Instead, they're seeking happiness based upon their circumstances and their situations. This morning, turn with me, if you would, to John 15. And let me read verses 10 and 11 to you. This is John 15. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Now, he's been teaching them all his commandments and all his ways. And he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And he goes on to talk about love. But notice there, He had told them. He'd been teaching these commandments. Verse 10 says, you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that your joy might remain full. Joy is different than happiness, by the way. True joy is found in God. You see, when you think about joy, joy is something deeper. Because it's in the soul. It's not based upon circumstances. It's not based upon your situation. And it'll remain no matter what the circumstance is. Because it's anchored in the Lord. When you find joy in the Lord, it's going to be there. Even when it rains outside, there's still going to be some joy there because God is still your Savior. God is still your God. God still has a purpose for you. God still has a plan for your life. God is still in control. You see, that's the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness can come and go, but true joy will remain. You know what Ruth did? She chose holiness. In other words, she chose God over the world. And you know, that's a decision that we have to make. And here, I don't know necessarily this is a salvation decision. Obviously, we've got to choose God. We've got to come to God and trust in Him as our Savior. But after we're saved, we have to choose. We have to make this decision often. Whether we're going to seek the things that make us happy in life, or we're going to seek the things of God. Whether we find joy or happiness or not, we're going to walk with God, even during difficult times. See, Ruth here was willing to go the hard route. Not because she was stubborn, not because she enjoyed challenging herself. I think she was willing to go because that's the route that was the right route. That was the way that God wanted her to go, and she was willing to go. So this morning, let's not look to, I guess you say, avoid problems or troubles or trials. If that's the direction God wants us to go, then let's go. That's what happened here with Ruth. She went the way that God wanted her to go. Now, the next person we have in this book is Boaz. He's probably the next three leading characters, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. Boaz was a wealthy man. We find over in the book of Ruth here that in chapter 2 and 3 is where we find he notices Ruth. And what's interesting is he noticed her unselfish love. That's what he talks about. Verse 4 of Ruth chapter 2, it says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So Boaz noticed her." Notice verse 8, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." What we find with Boaz, first he noticed her testimony. You know, Ruth could have gotten into Bethlehem, or to Israel, excuse me, could have gotten to Israel, and she could have just, how do you say, quit. Said, everything's rough here, I'm a foreigner, I don't know the people. The Bible tells us she worked. She went out, she found a field to work in, and she applied herself so she could take care of her, take care of Naomi. She was a diligent worker, and Boaz took note of that. You know what's interesting is Boaz here, I read one person said, this is where he fell in love with Ruth. When he noticed her unselfish attitude, and he noticed her kindness, how she took care of Naomi. You see, he looked upon her, and he noticed her character. And Boaz, later, and another man were given the opportunity to redeem Ruth. In other words, to take her out of her problems. And the Bible tells us that Boaz was the one who God used to redeem her. Turn to Ruth chapter 4. Notice in verse 9, it says, "And Boaz said unto the elders," this is Ruth chapter 4, verse 9, "And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have but all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's and the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren." Now this was not the act of a man purchasing a slave, but this was the act of a man meeting the requirements to bring someone into his family. Basically, he was making Ruth his wife, is what he did. You know, and some people, I think they're right, this is, you find some romance in this book. Those of you that enjoy that, you'll find that here. And he went and he loved her, he cared for her, and this man was willing to pay any price to have her as his wife. And he did that. He was willing to pay off all that the family owed and take care of all those things so that way she could be brought into his family. And that's what we have here. And I think that's where in this book, we're talking about the book of redemption, that's where we get a good picture of God's redeeming grace. Because Boaz acted out of grace. He chose to do this. He wanted to do this. He wanted to be a blessing. And he wanted to bring her into his family, and that's what he did. This is a picture of God's redeeming grace. First off, none of us deserves God's grace. You know, we're all sinners, and none of us is worthy of God's grace. But God has graciously extended an invitation of salvation to sinners. Turn to them, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to read just two passages on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20. It says here, and this is Paul speaking or writing. He says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" And notice verse 20. He says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We are bought with a price. You know, the word redemption, it's got three meanings, but all three refer to being purchased. They imply different teachings of purchasing, but they all refer to being purchased. And the Bible teaches that redemption is when God purchased us out of sin. You see, the price was paid. That's what it says here. The price was paid for your sin. This is Christ's work on the cross, loved ones. This is what was done when He went to the cross. And He took our sin upon Him, and He paid the price. You know, it's good to remember, if you're saved here this morning, it's always good to remember that our sins have not been ignored. It's not like God has looked down and said, "I think you're such a wonderful person, I'm going to ignore your sins." No, they've been paid for. God looks upon each and every one of us as sinners, but those that are saved, He looks upon us as being paid for. Christ has paid the price. He says, "You're innocent now. You're free because of you've been purchased. You've been brought out of sin and brought out of the world, and you're now saved." You think of Ruth. That's what happened. She was redeemed. She was brought out of her situation, her problems, and she was brought into the family of Boaz. She was exalted to be his wife, and she was blessed. And so we get a picture of redemption, of God's grace and God's work. I want to read one more passage, and this is in 1 Peter. And this just refers to believers here, what we become because of Christ. 1 Peter and chapter 2, is I'm going to be reading verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says here in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Notice verse 10, "Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." This is referring to believers. You notice God has pulled us out of darkness. He's brought us into the light. He's redeemed us. And now we're to live unto Him. And that's what we find. You know, when you go back to the book of Ruth, that's what happened to her. Of course, I believe she trusted in the Lord. We find that in chapter 1. But here we find a picture of redemption of Boaz going in chapter 4 and redeeming her, paying the price so that way she could be brought into His family. You know, the Lord has paid the price so we can be brought into His family and enjoy a relationship with Him as His children. So every day, you know, before we move on to the last one, every day we're given choices. This book is filled with choices. Elimelech had a choice, Ruth had a choice, Orpah had a choice, Boaz had the choice, and he chose to redeem. Every day we're given choices. And as this book reveals, even the ones that appear to be small are important. So I encourage you to look to God, consult His Word, and consider His ways whenever you're making any decision. Walk with God. Here's the third thought I'll give to you on this, the purpose of this book. The purpose of this book, I think, first off, is to show the power of God. Now, the Lord's power was on display in this book. You know, when we think of the power of God, we think of some of the other books. We're going to get to 1 Samuel, and we think of David and Goliath. We're going to get to Daniel, and we think of Daniel and the lion's den. You know, there are some books where it's clear the Lord's power was on display. You go back to the book of Exodus and the plagues. Very clear that God displayed His power. But I think in this book, we see God's power displayed in a subtle way. You see, He worked in their lives as they lived and as they waited upon Him. And that's why I think we can probably relate to this book. Because God works in a similar way today. You see, in this book, there were no great visions like Daniel had visions. There were no great visions in this book. There were no great events for them to point to and look to. Basically, the people lived life and God worked through their lives, just like He calls upon us to do today. Turn to me, if you would, to Ruth chapter 2. I want to point something out on this. Ruth chapter 2. Naomi and Ruth have arrived in Israel. Notice it says in verse 1, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, now that word hap means her, just like circumstance, she just happened. It says, there was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Here's what I want to point out to you. Ruth went out to work. She went out to a field. And the Bible says that the Lord allowed her to come across the field of Boaz. Now it says hap. Now, here's what I think. Her viewpoint. In her mind, she just picked a field. She just went. She thought this is probably good. Maybe she thought she could get out there. And by the way, the work that was done is the reapers would go and they'd get all the harvest, and then they would leave some behind for the poor people. They would be allowed, those that wanted to work, like Ruth in this situation, would be allowed to go behind and pick up pieces so that they could make a living and they could have life. And that's what she was doing. So she wasn't coming to find a job or position. She was going just to do some work so that way she could provide for their needs. And so she comes to this field, and the Bible tells us that she happened to find a field that belonged to Boaz. Now, from her viewpoint, it was by chance. But I believe the Lord led her. As we'll see here at the end of the book, the Lord had a purpose for all this. You see, the Lord worked in her life. But she didn't even know the Lord was working. And that's what I want to point out to you this morning. Often, that's how the Lord leads. He leads indirectly. You see, I'll just tell you this. God didn't come to me this morning and say, well, Corey, I want to plan your week out with you. He just didn't do that with me. He's never done that. I don't think He ever will do that. He wants me to abide with Him, to live by faith, do what's right, and then He'll take care of the rest. He'll lead me step by step. He'll open doors or close doors, and He'll guide as I go. You see, they were basically, Ruth was just in God's will and just living life. She didn't know any better. She found a field, went to work, and it happened to be Boaz's field. You see, the Lord will work through our lives as we live unto Him. Ruth had no idea He was working. She had no purpose. You know, another thing, we don't find that Ruth woke up that morning and said, I'm going to find God's will. I'm going to go and try to be in God's will today. She was in God's will because she was living unto God. You see, that's a misconception, I think, today. You know, there's a lot of books out there telling you how you can find God's will. You know how to find God's will? Read the Bible. Live unto God. That's how you find God's will. This is His revealed will. And then guess what? Your Almighty God, the Creator of this world, your Creator, your Savior, can take care of the rest. He can open doors. He can close doors. He can provide what you need. He can take care of you. And that's what we find here with Ruth. That's what she did. She made no demands of God. She didn't say, God, I need this. God, I want this. God, I have to have this. She didn't worry about being in God's will. She just lived under the Lord. And guess what? God worked. God took care of her. God provided for her. And that leads us to the thought of the plan, God's power and God's plan. See, the power of the Lord, basically in Ruth's life, was to bring about His will through their lives. His will through their lives. You know, in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, it ends with the generations. You know, sometimes you read in the Bible, it has a list of generations. So-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so, so. You know, sometimes if you read that late at night, it can be a bad passage to read sometimes. Anyway, notice verse 18 of Ruth 4. It says, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon. But notice this, Salmon begat Boaz, Boaz begat Obed, Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, who years later, his ancestry, would come the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You see, God had a plan, and Ruth was part of that. You know, this morning, God has a plan for your life. And I don't think we should really worry ourselves every day wondering if we're God's will. Now, if there's sin in your life, confess that sin. Of course, forsake that. That's not in God's will. But live unto God, and God will take care of the rest. God will open doors. God will close them. God will provide. And we find in this passage here that God worked out His plan through their lives. And who would have thought? Who would have thought that God would have worked out a plan through a Moabite woman who was coming to a land, a foreign land, into Israel, and God would take this wealthy man and put them together, and through their line would come King David years later. You know, if we had to make the decision, of course, humanly speaking, we would have picked someone in Israel who was probably, well off, and then put them together. God had a different plan, and God worked His plan through Ruth. I think God knew Ruth's heart, by the way. He knew how much she loved her, loved Him, and was willing to walk after Him. Here's the closing of this book this morning. Read this book about this faithful woman that loved the Lord. I tell you, every time I read this book, you have to respect and admire Ruth's faith to leave a land, to follow after God. And by the way, when she left, I don't think she had any plans of returning her homeland. You know, it wasn't like trips, you know, she couldn't catch a plane and go visit. This was a journey, and she left, and she went into Israel. And she loved God, followed God, she lived for God. And God blessed her, God worked through her life. You see, the book is called Ruth, rightly so, because this Moabite woman looked to God and was blessed. What a wonderful, wonderful book we have here. She loved God, and she was willing to go wherever the Lord directed. Ruth persisted through difficult times. She continued to love unselfishly. She worked hard. She was very diligent, worked hard, and she overcame many prejudices and became part of the nation of Israel. And not only did she become part of this nation, but she became the ancestress of David, the beloved king and the hero of the nation. You see, Ruth was redeemed. It's a book of redemption. Ruth was redeemed. Her soul was redeemed. She put her faith, I believe, in God. She made God her God. She was redeemed there. And then later, God allowed her to be redeemed in life. Took her out of her problems and blessed her in a great way. So read this book. I think when we read this book, our faith in God is strengthened because we see what God can do in the lives of everyday people.